So we all feel it. We're there. December is here. The holidays are around the corner. We're ratty. We're irritated. We're awful to our partners. It's a difficult time of the year. The stress is reaching fever pitch. And to discuss how to better manage it and why there's such a problem over this time of the year is Dr. Dorian Wheel, Dr. D, a renowned psychologist in Johannesburg. Dr. D, great to have you with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Great to be back on Chai. Lovely to talk to you.
I'm smiling, although the subject isn't anything really to smile about because, yeah, the holidays are supposed to be joyful and marvelous, but for many people, they come with a hell of a lot of stress. Why, in
Yes.
your opinion, can this year, this time of the year, feel so utterly overwhelming emotionally?
Well, look, I think that it is true for, I wouldn't say the majority of the people, but certainly for a considerable number of people. And it's based on the fact that as human beings, we are wired for connection. And if you feel that you don't belong, or that you're on your own, or that there isn't something to look forward to, and you witness all the joy and anticipation and gaiety and planning, and everybody's talking about where they're going or if they're not, it's usually shared joy at this time of the year, or not often not, but when it isn't, it's really highlighted. It's like, you put a microscope on the position that you're in. If you are looking forward to a family holiday or, with other people, often, well, I mean, there can be stresses in that as well, because sometimes there's that forced gaiety. As you know, you've all got to sit around the table and be jolly. And there are often elephants in the room, sometimes a herd of elephants in the room, the hidden secrets that
100%.
rear their heads, but that people don't talk about, manifest during this time as well. Or do we have to go? Do we have to be there? Do we have to pretend that all is well when actually it isn't? So these kind of dynamics rise, but it's mainly the loneliness that gets exacerbated. And we know that the suicide rate increases at this time of the year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we are living in a very weird time, probably unknown in human history, where there's an epidemic of loneliness. Before, we've always had to rely on each other as societies. For whatever reason, we've entered an age where that algorithm is putting us into our bedrooms with a phone, and we're experiencing alienation, the likes of which I don't think we have experienced in our history. Do you kind of think I'm off the mark here or on the mark?
I think that that's a really interesting angle to say, is it worse now with technology and with the social media? And actually, I do think that you are on the mark, because what happens is that you extrapolate from a couple of pictures in the Instagram about the lives of other people. It can be you, and it's almost always very positive, and it's almost always an idealized fantasy. Wow, look at the life they have. I wish I had that life. Fun and celebration and parties and togetherness and so on. And I think that it's often very, very far from the truth. But that's what get portrayed. And I think for everybody, but particularly for younger people, their self-esteem is based on the number of likes that they get. And if they see other people enjoying themselves and they feel that they were left out, it has huge effect, not only on being alone, but on your self-esteem. What's wrong with me? So it's all about being included, about belonging, about being invited, and as I say, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a very important thing that you've highlighted. Excellent point that today, all of that kind of connection is in your face, or the perception of it is in your face. And so the feeling of loneliness and isolation, and being there with the evidence, the positive evidence of most other people aren't like this. What's wrong with me? Is there? It's actually
I'm going off on a
interesting,
bit of a
that
tangent
happiness.
here, but
Oh, okay.
No,
I just want to
I
say
just
that
think.
happiness is related to belonging. If you look at any study, people are
Yes.
happier, healthier, sometimes even wealthier when they are in feel connected to other human beings. And when you don't, the consequences are dire.
I think what you're saying makes absolute, it's self-evident and makes absolute perfect sense. I don't even, there's nothing to debate about it. It's just true. Tell me something else, the issue of sort of burnout. We've put in a hard 12 months. It's the end is in sight. Do relationships start to fray? Are we too
Oh,
tired to
yes.
deal with our partners and respond politely and respectfully? And is this something that's common as well?
Look, I think it certainly is common, the common it's especially building up at this time of year. People are on edge. They're trying to finish off whatever it is that they're trying to finish off in the office or close their practices or, do whatever. And they put, they're looking towards just, taking that break, but getting there is really difficult. And I think that it is. People are stressed, during that time. I think frustration tolerance are lower at that time. And so yes, I think that it can be taken out on in at home and people that on people that you love. But I also think that there's that comes into it, but there's also, thank goodness we're getting a break very soon. And if you know, it was interesting what there was an interview, very famous, Sigmund Freud at the turn of the century, where they said to him, Dr. Freud, the father of psychology, you write all about disturbed people, neurotic people, psychotic people. What do you have to say about people who are functional, healthy people? And he said,
Yes.
they always have three things. There's someone to love, and it doesn't have to be a life partner at all. It means if you are needing someone who has your back in the middle of the night when you're in trouble, who you're going to phone. It can be, doesn't have to be a life partner, but a sense of connection to the rest of the human race, something to do, some sort of purpose. So, and something to look forward to. And the something to look forward to when you're approaching the burnout, whatever prevents the burnout, it's the hope and that it and the knowledge that there is some light at the end of the tunnel that aren't always the lights of an oncoming train. I've just got to sustain this, do it, go for it a little bit more. And I think what is also useful is to know that you can, the importance of expressing it. We often think that vulnerability or admission of not always coping 100% is weakness. It actually isn't. We often talk about the power of vulnerability because it's authentic. I am going through a hard time. Sorry, I'm short-tempered. I know I am. Or even I need some help. Or could you assist with this and this? Pride sometimes comes into it. And sometimes too much pride causes too much pain. It's never more important to win than to be happy. It's always more important to be happy than to win. So if you're going through a time that is tough and you're not coping, it's important to turn to people who you believe care about you and say, you know what, just bear with me or even help me through this time. It's tough.
I think that's a remarkably practical piece of advice that you've just given, the ability to be honest and actually discuss it, because most people don't. And all it does is it exacerbates the problem, because now you're alienating the person who's closest to you, can't understand why you're being as difficult. Why are
Absolutely.
these self-evident things that you're saying this afternoon so difficult to land with normal people?
Look, I think that the thing is that we act a lot on assumption. In the example that you're giving where it gets worse in the relationship, often the assumption is, something to do with me, and it might not even have anything to do with you. It could be anything, but people I really act on assumptions, and often those assumptions are misguided, and often the assumptions are negative. If you would just have more courageous conversations, more open and courageous conversations, without the need to present yourself in a particular image all the time, it would really help a great deal.
So often we are compared to batteries. I've lost my charge. I need to recharge. I'm going to take the holiday. I'm going to come back recharged. I've always doubted whether, in fact, we should be compared in any way to a battery because I've doubted that analogy. Well, do you think you can recharge by taking a break?
Look, I mean, if you're making it sort of as it's, yes, of course, we're not batteries, but I think that we do need, it depends what the, what can I say? I think it depends what the charge is. If the ch if it's the charge is, if you're craving one apple and you keep getting another orange and another orange and another orange, it doesn't fill the gap. So the first part of the recharge maybe is, what am I hungry for? What am I hungry for? What do I need? What would make me feel recharged a bit and relax? Because sometimes, you can't get enough of what you don't really want. So if the holiday is based on, going out and socializing every single night because one wants to do it, and the other person is
Exactly.
just craving for some time alone or just with
It's
their
going to be more
partner, it doesn't
stressful.
fill the gap. So if the
Yes.
charge matches the need, I think you definitely can, come back feeling revitalized and, not keep on forcing yourself to do what you have to do, but acting more on the should end of the continuum. Can I listen to my own inner drumbeat for a change? Not I must, I have to, I've got to, good, bad, right, wrong, should, shouldn't, all of that, which is motivating a lot of people in terms of what they feel they have to do before the end of the year. But if you're talking about a real break or a real charge, it's like, not responding only to what beckons to you, but stopping and looking inwards and to say, you know what? What do I really want? What am I hungry for? What would make a difference? And then there are lots of ways of how to get those needs met. That's another show. How do you honor the needs of the other person? It's and respect your own at the same time. It's not I win, you lose, or you lose, I win. How do you get to a win-win where your needs are important but not at the expense of mine, so are mine? And there are a lot of ways that we could talk about how to do that.
We'll talk about that in the new year. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I think you saved a lot of relationships this afternoon. Thank you for some really practical, superb advice. What a joy to chat to you, Dr. D.
Thank
We
you.
will
What a joy. I
definitely
look forward
touch
to more.
base.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to take a music break. Here's Panic at the Disco. High hopes.